This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Story Circle. Although it's intended for children, Story Circle will entertain and delight kids and adults of all ages with short stories from the very best of children's literature. So pull up a comfy chair and join us for the Story Circle, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Story Circle, and I'm your reader, Donna, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading two books. The first book is entitled Gift and Box, which is a picture book. And the second book is from the A to Z mystery series entitled The Goose's Gold. And now, I'll begin with Gift and Box, written by Ellen Mayer and illustrated by Brazito McGrow, copyright 2023. This is a story from the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, sponsored by the Allen County Public Library Foundation. Children from birth to age 5 can receive a free book every month. Free Braille and audio children's books are also available. Learn more and sign up at acpl.info/Dolly or call 260-421-1200. Our story opens with a grandma sitting at a table with scissors, string, wrapping paper, tags, and stamps, holding on to a gift, and sitting beside it is a box. And on the box is a postmark that says, "From Grandma with Love." Gift was a gift. Box was a box. Our next page shows Grandma headed to the post office. Together, they were a package. Gift's purpose was to delight. Box's purpose was to protect. They were on their way. The journey ahead was long. They were not priority mail. Our next pages show the box sitting on top of other packages and getting ready to be loaded onto a post office truck. Being a package was not always easy. Sometimes the journey was boring. "When will we be there?" asked Gift. "Sit tight," replied Box. "We're still waiting at the post office." Sometimes it was bumpy. "I'm upside down," whined Gift. "Why don't you practice your headstands?" suggested Box. Over on our next two pages, we see the package being lifted onto a ship. Sometimes it was very scary. "Where are we now?" asked Gift. "We're lifting off," gasped Box. "Hold on." Sea spray blew across the choppy waves for days and days. "I don't feel good," moaned Gift. "And neither do I," groaned Box. On our next pages, we see a big city full of cars and buildings and one-way streets. Truck exhaust spewed out into the city street. "It smells bad in here," sputtered Gift. Box sighed. On our next pages, we see a bunch of presents all stacked up, and then they're on a conveyor belt heading somewhere. Gift was not always delightful. Protecting Gift was often challenging. Occasionally, being a package was fun. And then, things fall off the conveyor belt on the next page. But the fun could turn frightening. "Help!" shrieked Gift. "Don't worry," shouted Box. "I've got you." On the next page, we see the box is rather beat up, and someone fixes it with a giant Band-Aid. "I'm not a surprise anymore," whimpered Gift. "That's okay," said Box. "I am sure you will still delight." You think so?" sniffled Gift. "I know so," said Box. "You will dazzle." "We're almost there," announced Box. "I'm going to miss you," whispered Gift. "I'm going to miss you too," whispered Box. On our next page, we see a lady opening a front door with a package sitting on the doorstep and a little girl running to the door carrying her teddy bear as the cat peeks out the front. "What is it?" said Sophia. On our next two pages, we have Sophia opening up her gift and taking it to her bedroom. Gift had finally arrived. Gift and Box were no longer a package. Rip! Gift had brought delight. Box had protected Gift. Their journey had ended. Their time was over. On our next page, Sophia is trying to decide what to do with the box. "I'll flatten the box and recycle it," said Mama. "No," said Sophia, "I want the box too." Gift was no longer a gift. Box was no longer a box. Together, they were... And you open to the last page, and Sophia has turned the box into an airplane and put her new giraffe inside and is taking off. Grandma bound, much more than a package. The end. And that was Gift in Box by Ellen Mayer. A story from the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, sponsored by the Allen County Public Library Foundation. Children from birth to age 5 can receive a free book every month. Free Braille and audio children's books are also available. Learn more and sign up at acpl.info/Dolly or call 260-421-1200. Our next book is entitled The Goose's Gold. This is from the A to Z Mysteries, written by Ron Roy, illustrated by John Stephen Gurney, copyright 1999. Chapter 1. "Hi, Mom. I'm in Florida," Dink said into the phone. He glanced out the airport's large windows. "I can see palm trees, and it's about 80 degrees. Donald David Duncan, known as Dink to his friends, was on winter vacation from school. He, Josh, and Ruth Rose were visiting Ruth Rose's grandma. She lived on an island called Key West. Dink's mother told him to have a wonderful time. "And remember your manners." Dink grinned into the phone. "What manners?" "Just joking, Mom. See you in a few days." Dink hung up the phone. As he bent over to pick up his backpack, he saw a pair of feet in the next booth. They were tan and in sandals. One hairy ankle had a tattoo of an eagle's head. Dink heard the man's voice. He was whispering. "Then we take the dough and split. They'll never find us." Take the dough and split? Was this guy planning a robbery? Dink wondered. He leaned toward the other booth so he could hear better. "Those old cookies are loaded," the man whispered. "We get in and out, and then we drown the goose and disappear." Dink blinked. Loaded cookies? drowned the goose? What was going on here? Suddenly, Josh snapped his fingers in front of Dink's face. Earth to Dink, he said. Come on, we have to go find my grandmother, said Ruth Rose. Dink stepped away from the phone. He peeked into the next booth, but it was empty. Dink hurried after Josh and Ruth Rose. You guys aren't going to believe what I just heard, he said. I think some guy is planning a robbery. Josh and Ruth Rose looked at Dink. Are you kidding? Ruth Rose asked. No, honest, Dink said. Dink tried to imitate the way the man had whispered. He said, take the dough and drown the goose. Josh looked at his friend. That's it? Dink nodded. Well, he also said something about loaded cookies. Maybe he said, bake the dough and brown the goose, Ruth Rose said. Sounds like he was a chef, not a robber. Suddenly they heard someone call. Yoo-hoo, kids, over here. There she is, Ruth Rose said excitedly. Hi, Graham. The kids hurried over to a smiling woman with white hair. Honey, how you've grown, Ruth Rose's grandmother said. She gave Ruth Rose a hug. Merry Christmas. Ruth Rose blushed. Thanks, Graham. These are my best friends, Dink and Josh. Guys, this is Graham Hathaway. Graham Hathaway was short and tanned. She wore shorts, a purple t-shirt, and a baseball cap backward. Graham shook hands with the boys. I've heard a lot about you two, she said. Got your bags? Let's go home and have a nice supper. Ruth Rose's grandmother led them through the exit doors. The evening was hot and humid. Everyone wore shorts and sandals. Boy, back home we had a foot of snow, Josh said. I can't wait to see the ocean. There's a lovely beach not far from my house, Ruth Rose's Graham said. I think you'll find the water pretty warm for December. They piled into her small white car. Buckle up, everyone, she said. Dink and Josh climbed in the back. Dink almost sat on a pair of inline skates. Just dump those on the floor, Graham said. Josh snuck Dink a look. Do you skate? He asked Ruth Rose's grandmother. She winked at Josh in the rearview mirror. Only on Tuesdays and Fridays. The rest of the week I jog or swim. A few minutes later, they were zooming along a busy street. Dink watched the tall palm trees as the car whizzed past them. Through rows of neat houses, he caught glimpses of blue sea and nearly white sand. Look, a pelican! Josh cried, pointing out the window. You'll see plenty of those here, Graham Hathaway said, and they aren't afraid of people. I saw one swoop down and snatch a girl's ice cream cone. They better not try that with me, Josh said. Here we are, Graham Hathaway said. She pulled her car into a driveway surrounded by rose bushes. Dink saw a small pink house with blue shutters. Window boxes were filled with bright flowers. Pots of pink geraniums sat on the front steps. You've got an awesome house, Mrs. Hathaway, Josh said. She laughed. Please call me Graham, and thank you. The kids followed Graham into a yellow living room. In one corner, a Christmas tree stood on a table. Okay, drop your bags and let's eat. Graham led Ruth Rose and Josh into her kitchen. I hope you like fried chicken. Dink followed slowly. He couldn't stop thinking about the man on the telephone. If he was just talking about food, Dink wondered, why was he whispering? Chapter 2. I smell cookies, Josh said the next morning. Dink rolled over and looked at Josh. He was sitting up in bed with his nose in the air. Dink grinned. You look like a rabbit, Josh. No, I'm serious, Josh said. He walked over to the window and took a deep whiff. Yes, it's cookies with chocolate chips. They heard a knock on their bedroom door. Hurry up, you guys, Ruth Rose said. Graham is making breakfast. Dink and Josh scrambled into shorts and t-shirts. They did a quick job of washing up and then hurried down the stairs. Graham Hathaway stood at the stove, spooning pancake batter onto a hot griddle. She was wearing running gear and her hair was tied in a red bandana. "Good morning, boys. How'd you sleep?" "Great," Dink said, "except Josh snored all night." "Ha!" Ruth Rose laughed as she poured orange juice into four glasses. She liked to dress in all one color. Today, she was wearing green shorts, a green t-shirt, and green jelly shoes. Josh glanced at the stove. "I thought I smelled chocolate chip cookies." Graham smiled. "What an observant young man. There's a batch in the oven that's almost done." Josh nudged Dink. "See? I'm an observant young man." Graham brought a platter of pancakes to the table. "I'm making cookies for our company." "Who's the company, Graham?" Ruth Rose asked. Her grandmother smiled mysteriously. "It's a surprise. You'll have to wait and see." While they ate breakfast, Graham told the kids about some of the sights to see on the island. "Be sure to take a ride on the Old Town Trolley," she said. "It scoots all over town." "How do we get to the beach?" Josh asked. "Just walk to the end of my street, then turn right," Graham said. "Two more blocks and you'll see the water." "Can we help you clean up?" Ruth Rose asked. "I'll clean up after my run," Graham replied. "You kids go have fun and I'll see you for lunch." The kids each grabbed a warm cookie, then hurried outside. 10 minutes later, they were carrying their sneakers and wading in the ocean. Dink was looking at Guy's feet on the beach. He saw plenty of ankle tattoos, but none were eagles. From the beach, they walked up some steps to a wide concrete pier. There were benches and tables and vendors selling food and souvenirs. A man was juggling oranges and grapefruits. Big gray pelicans sat on posts, waiting for tourists to feed them. "Let's go see those boats," Josh suggested, pointing toward a long wooden dock. The kids ran along the beach and crossed over to the dock. Dink saw a sign that said, "Watch for splinters and fish hooks. No bare feet." People were lined up fishing. One little girl shouted and then pulled up a silver fish the size of Dink's hand. The kids pulled on their shoes and hiked along the long dock. Boats were nestled in slips on both sides. Everywhere they looked, people were washing, polishing, or painting their boats. "I wish I had a sailboat," Josh said as they continued along the dock. "I'd live on it and sail around the world." "What about me and Dink?" Ruth Rose asked. "Oh, I'd hire you as my cook," Josh told Ruth Rose. "You could make me cookies and pizza." He nudged Dink with his hip. "And Dinkus could wash my clothes and make my bed." "Yeah, right," Dink said, "and make you walk the plank." "Listen, I hear music," Josh said. A radio stood at the end of the dock next to a man holding a paintbrush. He was painting curly gold letters on the side of a white boat. So far, he'd finished G and O. Smears of gold speckled the man's tanned fingers. He was short, but the muscles on his arms made him look like a weightlifter. Another man stood next to him eating a muffin. He was tall and skinny, with a blonde ponytail. Both men wore tank tops over baggy jeans. The skinny man nodded at the kids. "Howdy," he said. "I like your boat," said Josh. "Do you live on it?" The skinny man turned down the radio. "There's two beds up front," he said, "a kitchen and a bathroom, too." Dink noticed a yellow rubber dinghy strapped along one side of the boat. Two long fishing poles were lying on the deck. "Is it a fishing boat?" Dink asked. The skinny man shook his head. "Nah, we're after treasure. We dive for gold." "You do?" Josh said. "Cool." The man waved his muffin out at the ocean. "There are plenty of sunken ships out there," he said, grinning. "Me and Spike here found one." The man with the paintbrush gave his friend a sharp look. "Chip, Maybe these kids don't want to know our business, he said. Chip shrugged. Just being neighborly, he said. Spike went back to his painting. Did you find any gold yet? Josh asked. Chip looked at Spike. Yeah, we got some. Could we see it? Ruth Rose asked. Spike thought for a minute and then handed Chip his paintbrush. Sure, why not? He said. Come aboard and watch your feet. Spike climbed down some stairs to a little cabin. When he came back up, he had something shiny in his hand. These are Spanish coins, Spike told the kids, almost 400 years old. The kids stared at the gold coins in Spike's hand. Pretty neat, huh? The large gold coins gleamed in the sun. Awesome, Josh said. Chapter 3. The kids thanked Spike and Chip and walked back along the dock. I wonder how much those coins are worth, Josh said. A lot, Ruth Rose said. Josh sighed. Wouldn't it be cool to die for treasure? Josh, Dink said. You need to know how to use an air tank and everything. They go down deep. Across the street, a small orange train was loading up with passengers. There's the trolley, Ruth Rose said. Let's catch it. The kids rushed over. They climbed aboard and sat right behind the driver. When most of the seats were filled, the trolley gave a jolt, then moved down the street. Where does the trolley go? Dink asked the driver. We go everywhere, my man, said the driver. He handed Dink a map. See those blue circles? Those are my stops. You can get off at any of them and hop back on when I come by again. The driver stopped the train in front of a white building with overflowing flower boxes. The sign in front of the building read, Mel Fisher's Treasure Museum. See Spanish gold and silver inside. Who's Mel Fisher? Dink asked the driver. Mel Fisher found an old Spanish ship loaded with gold and silver, he said. Some of what he found is in this museum. He pointed at the sign. Why don't you kids hop off and check it out? I'll swing by again in about 45 minutes. All right, Josh said. The kids got off the trolley and followed a few of the other sightseers to the museum. Inside were rows of glass cases. Each case held gleaming gold, silver, or jewelry. The kids walked around the room staring at the priceless treasures. After a while, Ruth Rose stopped in front of a picture of Mel Fisher. He was wearing a long gold chain. The real chain was displayed in a glass case below the picture. Listen, Ruth Rose said. This solid gold chain was made in 1622 and weighs 200 pounds. It is worth more than $1 million. Boy, imagine wearing that around your neck, Josh said. Dink was looking at the picture of Mel Fisher's boat. Look, this says it took him almost 20 years to find the treasure. Speaking of food, let's get some lunch, Josh said. We weren't talking about food, Ruth Rose said. Well, my stomach was, said Josh. Looking at treasure makes me hungry. A few minutes later, the trolley stopped back at the museum. What'd you think of all that gold? The driver asked them. Pretty amazing, huh? Did Mel Fisher get to keep everything he found? Dink asked. The driver shook his head. Some had to go to the state of Florida, but he and his investors got rich on the rest. What are investors? Josh asked. People who lent Mel Fisher money, said the driver. Fisher had to borrow a lot of money to buy equipment and pay his crew. When he struck it rich, he paid his investors back with gold. The man grinned in his mirror. Wish he'd asked me to invest. A few minutes later, the kids said goodbye and hopped off the trolley. They raced home and rushed into Graham Hathaway's kitchen. How was your morning? She asked. We rode on the trolley, Graham, Ruth Rose said. The driver was so nice. He dropped us off at the Mel Fisher Museum, Dink said. And we met two guys who dive for treasure, Josh added. We went on their boat and saw real gold coins. Ruth Rose's grandmother smiled. "I'm glad you got to see some treasure," she said with sparkling eyes. "Now, let me tell you about our special company. Their names are Chip and Spike." Chapter 4. "Graham, how do you know Spike and Chip?" Ruth Rose asked. "Wash up for lunch, and I'll tell you all about it," her grandmother said. The kids crowded around the kitchen sink and washed their hands. "A few weeks ago, Spike and Chip came to my senior center," Ruth Rose's Graham said. She set a plate of sandwiches on the table. The kids wiped their hands and sat down. "They told us all about the treasure they found," Graham continued. She poured lemonade. "Now, they're looking for investors." "Just like Mel Fisher," Dink said. He reached for a tuna sandwich. "That's right, Dink," Graham said. Josh heaped three sandwiches onto his plate. "Are you going to get rich?" he asked. Ruth Rose's grandmother laughed. "We'll have to wait and see," she said. "Anyway, we're each thinking about investing $10,000. "Graham," Ruth Rose said. Her grandmother's eyes twinkled. "I know, it is a little scary." "Boy, I'd do anything to go with them when they drive for treasure," Josh said. "That reminds me," Graham said. She took three presents off the counter. "Merry Christmas." "Wow, thanks, Graham," said Ruth Rose. "Yeah, thanks," said Dink and Josh. "They're all the same," Graham Hathaway said. "That way you won't have to share." The kids pulled off the paper. Inside, they each found a book called Finding Sunken Treasure in Florida. The cover showed a boat like the one Mel Fisher had used. Under the boat was a sunken ship. Divers were searching the wreck and bringing up treasure. "I thought you'd have fun learning about shipwrecks," said Graham, "since I might be investing in one." "This is so neat," Josh said. "Thanks a lot." Ruth Rose's grandmother stood up. "You're very welcome. And now I have to get busy. Spike and Chip will be here in an hour. Can you help me set up the living room?" "Sure," Dink said. "What do you want us to do?" "I'll need about 10 folding chairs. They're in the hall closet. And bring out the 3 card tables." The kids arranged the tables and chairs around the living room. Graham Hathaway set out covered plates of cookies on one of the tables. "Can we stay for the meeting?" Ruth Rose asked. "Of course," her grandmother said. "After you read those books, I expect you to ask intelligent questions." The kids took their books out to the porch. "Look," Josh said, "there's a whole chapter just about Mel Fisher." Ruth Rose pointed to a map showing sunken ships. "They're all off the coast of Florida," she said. "If each one has a treasure on it, think how much that is." Josh lay back on the porch and closed his eyes. "I'm staying here when you guys go back home. I'm going to become a treasure hunter." Dink laughed. "You find treasure? You couldn't find your shorts this morning, Josh." Josh jabbed Dink with his knee. "Call me Captain Josh, please." Just then, a car pulled up. 2 gray-haired women climbed out and hurried toward the house. "I'm going in to help Graham," Ruth Rose said. "We'll help, too," said Dink. He nudged Josh. "Come on, Captain Josh." Before they could go inside, a yellow cab stopped out front. Spike and Chip climbed out. Spike was carrying a wooden box. They were both dressed in clean pants, pressed shirts, and sandals. "Hi," Josh said as the 2 men walked up the sidewalk. Spike and Chip stared at the kids. Finally, Chip waved. "How you doing? Do you guys live around here?" Ruth Rose laughed. "No, we're visiting my grandmother. This is her house." Spike smiled. "What a small world," he said. "Can I carry the box in?" Josh asked. Spike shrugged. "It's pretty heavy." "I can help," Dink said. They ran down the sidewalk and Spike handed them the box. Josh grinned as they lugged the heavy box up the steps. "My fingers feel all tingly," he said. Chapter 5. Graham Hathaway's living room was crowded with people. Spike and Chip sat at a small table with the box in front of them. Dink, Josh, and Ruth Rose perched on the stairs. "Thank you all for coming," Graham told everyone. Then she smiled at Spike. He stood up. "Thanks for inviting us," Spike said. "Chip and I have been diving for a few years now. A couple of weeks ago, we found a sunken ship." Chip opened the box. Spike reached in and pulled out a gold cross about 8 inches tall. The gold shone warmly in the sunny room. Someone said, "Oh my goodness!" Spike gently laid the cross on the table. Next, he brought out a shiny hunk of silver, about the size of a bar of soap. Then he spread a handful of gold coins on the table. "There's a lot more down there," he continued. "We've found chains, silver goblets, even jewelry." Graham's friends got out of their seats and crowded around Spike and Chip. "May we touch it?" one woman asked. Spike laughed. "Can't hurt it, ma'am. It's been on the bottom of the ocean for almost 400 years. Josh was standing up so he could see. Graham Hathaway's friends were passing around the gold and silver. Spike, Josh said, "how did you get it so clean? Wouldn't it have barnacles and stuff all over it?" Spike grinned. "Good question," he said. "First, we soak the pieces, and then we rub them with regular old vinegar. You'd be surprised how easily it cleans up." Ruth Rose's hand shot up. "Can I ask a question?" Spike nodded. "Ask away." "It took Mel Fisher 20 years to find his sunken ship," said Ruth Rose. "How did you find yours so quickly?" Spike smiled. "I guess we were just lucky," he said. "And we had good maps," Chip added. Spike turned back to the group. "I hope you'll all consider investing with us," he said. "Once we can buy some more equipment, we'll start bringing up some serious treasure." Ruth Rose's grandmother stood up. "Why don't we have refreshments now?" she said. Everyone began talking and filling small plates with cookies. Ruth Rose went into the kitchen for the lemonade. Dink and Josh stayed on the stairs near the table of goodies. Spike and Chip stepped over to the refreshment table. Dink watched Spike take a few cookies. "These cookies are loaded with chocolate chips," Spike whispered to his friend. Dink was about to say something to Spike, but he stopped. He knew he had heard those words before. Dink closed his eyes and tried to remember the voice he'd overheard in the airport. Dink was positive the man had said, "Those cookies are loaded." Dink was almost sure it had been the same voice. He looked down for a tattoo, but Spike's pants covered his ankles. The sandals looked the same, but a lot of people in Florida wore brown leather sandals. "What's the matter?" Ruth Rose asked Dink. "You look like you smelled something rotten." Dink stood up. "Come outside," he whispered. "It's important." Chapter 6. Josh and Ruth Rose followed Dink through the living room to the porch. They sat on the front steps. "What's going on?" Josh asked. "I wasn't through with those cookies." "Remember the guy I told you about at the airport yesterday?" Dink asked, "talking on the phone?" Ruth Rose grinned. "Yeah, the cook you thought that was planning a robbery?" Dink turned around and looked through the screen door. "I think it was Spike." Josh and Ruth Rose just stared at Dink. Finally, Josh said, "What are you talking about, Dinkus?" "I recognized his voice," Dink said. "The guy at the airport said the same thing, that some old cookies were loaded." Josh shook his head. "So?" "Don't you see?" Dink said. "Maybe he meant Graham Hathaway's friends are loaded. Loaded with money." Suddenly, the door opened and Graham's friends began coming out. They all seemed excited about investing with Spike and Chip. Then Spike and Chip came out carrying the box of gold. Graham Hathaway followed them onto the porch. "Thanks for calling us a cab, Mrs. Hathaway," Spike said. "Do you really think your friends will help us out?" Graham Hathaway smiled. "I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I'm going to talk to my banker on Monday morning." A yellow cab pulled up, and Spike and Chip climbed in with the box. They waved out the window as the cab sped away. "Wasn't that fun?" Ruth Rose's grandmother said. She stepped back into the house. "There are plenty of goodies left if anyone is hungry," she called through the screen door. "Thanks, Gram," Ruth Rose said. "She's pretty excited," she added after her grandmother had gone inside. "I would be, too, if I was going to get rich." Dink stood up. "Well, I don't think she's going to get rich," he said. "I think she's going to get robbed." "Robbed?" Ruth Rose yelled. "Yeah," Dink said. "Spike and Chip could just take off with your grandmother's money." "But what about all that gold they just showed us?" Josh asked. Dink shook his head. "I don't know about that, but I do know what I heard." "You know what you thought you heard," Josh said. "Besides, you don't know it was Spike. You never saw the guy on the phone." "But I did see his feet," Dink said. He told Josh and Ruth Rose about the tattoo he'd seen on the man's ankle. "It's a good thing I'm such an observant young man," Josh said. "I know how we can settle this whole thing." "How?" Ruth Rose asked. "By finding out if it was really Spike that Dink heard on the phone." Dink looked at him. "And how do we do that, oh observant one?" Josh grinned. "Easy. We get Spike to show us his tattoo." Chapter 7. "Good idea," Dink said. "Let's go to the dock." "Hold on," Ruth Rose said. She opened the screen door, grabbed some towels, and yelled, "Gram, we're going to the beach." Ruth Rose tossed towels to Dink and Josh as they walked down the sidewalk. "What if Spike's still wearing long pants?" she asked. "Dink will think of something," he said. He grinned at Dink. "Right?" Dink shook his head. "This was your idea. Besides, you're the observant one." They thought about it as they walked. When they reached the boat dock, they still hadn't figured out what to do. "I know," Josh said. "I'll tell him Dink is thinking of getting a tattoo. Then Spike will show us his." Dink laughed. "Kids can't get tattoos, Josh," he said. A few moments later, the kids reached Spike and Chip's boat slip, but the boat wasn't there. "They're gone," Ruth Rose said. "Now what?" Dink asked. "Should we wait until they come back?" "Why don't we hang out at the beach for a while?" Josh suggested. "That way we can have fun and watch for the boat at the same time." "Okay," Ruth Rose said, "but we can't stay out late. Gram will worry." "Last one in kisses pelicans," Josh yelled. He thundered down the dock and leaped onto the beach. The kids swam, searched for shells, and buried Josh in the sand. By 5 o'clock, their skin was itchy with sunburn and salt. "Look, isn't that their boat?" Ruth Rose asked. A white boat was pulling in at the end of the dock. "I think it is," Josh said. "Come on." The kids ran back along the dock. They reached the boat as Chip was securing the lines. Spike was behind the wheel, just shutting down the motor. Both men were wearing T-shirts and jeans. Spike's ankles were covered. "Did you go diving?" Josh asked. "We dive every day," Spike said, stepping onto the dock. He patted his stomach. "Right now, I need a couple of burgers. Ready, Chip?" The kids walked with Spike and Chip to the end of the dock and said goodbye. "We still didn't see a tattoo," Ruth said as they headed for her grandmother's house. "No. But I saw something else," Dink said. "They finished painting the name of the boat. It's the Golden Goose." Josh looked at him. "So?" "The guy at the airport said something about drowning a goose," Dink said. "Maybe that's the goose he was talking about." "But what does it mean?" Ruth Rose asked. "Boats don't drown." Dink shook his head. "I don't know." A few minutes later, they saw Ruth Rose's grandmother. She was weeding in her front garden. "Hi, Gram," Ruth Rose called. She looked up and waved. "Tomorrow, we go back to the boat and try again," Dink said, keeping his voice low. "You guys with me?" "What if Spike's still wearing long pants?" Ruth Rose asked. Then I put my plan to work, Dink said. What plan? Josh asked. I tell him about the tattoo contest, said Dink. Josh stared at Dink. What contest? The one I just made up, Dink said, tapping his head. I'm going to hang a poster down by the dock. The poster will announce a tattoo contest. Then I'll tell Spike and Chip about the contest. If Spike has a tattoo on his ankle, he might mention it or even show it to us. Dinkus was in the sun too long, Josh whispered loudly to Ruth Rose. I think it's brilliant, Ruth Rose said. Come on, I'll ask Graham for paper and markers. Chapter 8. Dink jumped out of bed. He shook Josh by the shoulder. Josh, get up. We're going back to the dock. Josh opened one eye. Time is it? He asked sleepily. Dink glanced at the clock next to his bed. Almost 8. Hurry up. Dink dressed in shorts and a t-shirt. He washed, brushed his hair, and grabbed the poster he'd drawn the night before. Come on, Josh, he said, hurrying downstairs. Ruth Rose was sitting at the table, spreading peanut butter on a bagel. Graham's out for her morning swim, she said. She pushed the plate of bagels toward Dink. Where's Josh? Dink sat down and reached for the strawberry jam. Still waking up, he said. Dink unrolled the poster as Josh stumbled into the kitchen. His red hair was sticking straight up. This plan had better work, he said. I was dreaming I was King Midas, only everything I touched turned to chocolate. Josh got a bagel and read Dink's poster through sleepy eyes. At the bottom, Dink had drawn a man's arm with a tattoo of an owl. What happens when a bunch of people with tattoos show up and there's no contest? Dink shrugged. We have to find out if Spike has that tattoo on his ankle. Can you think of any other way? Josh just shrugged. All right, then. Let's get going, Dink said. They each grabbed an apple and headed for the dock. Dink carried the poster and 4 thumbtacks. Even this early, people were strolling along the concrete pier. Dink tacked the poster to a light pole. Okay, now let's go find Spike and Chip, he said. They hurried to the dock. A few people were on their boats drinking coffee and enjoying the morning sun. The Golden Goose was tied at its slip. Not a sound came from the boat. Think they're still asleep? Josh asked. Dink shrugged. I don't hear any snoring. Ruth Rose peered through one of the round cabin windows. Nobody's down there, she said. Look, the door's open, Josh said. They must be here. Dink stepped onto the boat deck and knocked on the wood. Hello, he called. Anyone home? Dink hopped back onto the dock. Maybe they went out for breakfast, he said. Let's wait. The kids sat in the sun. A pelican waddled along the dock, stopping at each of the boats. A woman tossed him some bread. Josh pulled out his book and began reading. Listen to this, he said. No matter how long it has been at the bottom of the ocean, gold stays shiny. But silver requires several days in a special chemical solution before it looks shiny again. Josh looked up. Yesterday, Spike told everyone they cleaned the gold and silver with vinegar. The kids looked at each other. Dink got up and stepped aboard the Golden Goose. He walked around the deck looking at everything and peeking into corners. He stopped near an oxygen tank propped against a bench and then came back to the dock. That tank's empty, he told Josh and Ruth Rose. How do you know? Josh asked. There's a round window with a dial, Dink said. The little arrow is pointing to E. So maybe they used up all the oxygen and haven't filled it up yet. Maybe, Dink said, but I don't see any other diving equipment. Ruth Rose stepped closer to the deck. Maybe they keep it down below, she said. She looked at the guys. I say we check it out. Me too, Dink said. Josh glanced back toward the pier. What if they come back and catch us snooping? He said. We'll tell them my grandmother sent us, Ruth Rose said. I'll say she wants to ask them more questions. I think they hang pirates, Josh said. Josh, just looking on someone's boat doesn't make us pirates, Ruth Rose said. If they're trying to cheat my grandmother, I'm going to find out. Come on, we won't touch anything. We'll just look around. She hopped aboard the boat and scooted down the cabin stairs. Josh and Dink followed. The three stood in the middle of the small cabin. What a smell, Ruth Rose said. They aren't very neat, are they? Josh said. The beds were unmade, and the tiny kitchen was a jumble of dirty dishes and glasses. The small eating table was covered with sticky-looking stains. Dink glanced into a few dark corners. I still don't see... Shh! I heard something, Ruth Rose said. She pointed above their heads. Suddenly, they all heard footsteps. The kids looked at each other wide-eyed. Josh's face went white. Dink looked around the small cabin, then rushed toward the narrow door in the back. He yanked the door open and motioned for Josh and Ruth Rose to follow. Chapter 9. The kids found themselves crammed into the boat's tiny bathroom. There was no room to sit or turn around. The kids just stood and stared at each other. Suddenly, they heard heavy feet thunder down the cabin stairs. They held their breath. They heard a small thump, then a bigger one. Then the feet were walking again, this time going up the stairs. The small room got hot fast. Sweat ran into Dink's eyes. He could barely breathe. They waited, but heard no more noises. I smell scrambled eggs, Josh whispered into Dink's ear. Dink rolled his eyes. Well, I do, said Josh. Dink waited a few more minutes, then cracked the door open. Cool air rushed into the bathroom. Dink quickly looked around the cabin. He could hear the men talking up above. He gently pulled the door shut. They're up on deck, he said. We can't stay in this bathroom. If one of them wants to use it, we're sunk. Why don't we just leave? Josh asked. How do we explain why we're hiding on their boat? Ruth Rose said. It's too late. Dink slipped out of the bathroom and saw a trap door in the floor. Kneeling, Dink pulled the trap door open. Josh and Ruth Rose tiptoed out of the bathroom. Suddenly, the kids heard a roar. Then Dink felt the boat begin to move backward. They're taking the boat out, he whispered. Come on, down here. The kids scampered down into the boat's hold. Dink lowered the door over their heads. Except for a crack of light around the trap door, they were in darkness. This place stinks like rotten fish, Josh said. Now what? Ruth Rose said. I don't know, Dink answered. He thought for a minute. They must be going out to the dive site, he said. We'll have to hide till they decide to go back to the dock. But that could be all day, Josh said. The kids squirmed around, trying to get comfortable. Dink put his eye up to the crack and saw the underside of the table. To the right, he could just make out the bottom stair leading up to the deck. Then Dink touched something squishy. Guys, I found some life vests, Dink whispered. Put them on. The kids struggled into the vests. Dink kept his eye on the crack. He wanted to know if Spike or Chip came down into the cabin. They heard footsteps, then voices. Shapes moved back and forth on the trap door. They're down in the cabin. They're eating breakfast, Josh hissed into Dink's ear. I told you I smelled eggs. Then somebody sat down at the table. Dink could see one person's leg from the knee down. The leg was hairy and tanned. Suddenly, Dink gasped. Just inches from his eye, he saw a tattoo. It was an eagle's head. Chapter 10. Spike was the man he'd overheard at the airport. Suddenly, Chip was talking. Yeah, no, he said. I'm going to miss this old tub when it's gone. Not me, Spike answered. When we get the dough from those old folks, I'm buying the hottest car in Florida. I'm sick of living like a sardine. So, When do you want to do it? Chip asked. As soon as I finish eating, Spike said. I'll even let you have the pleasure of using the axe. Dink heard Chip laugh. With all those cinder blocks we brought aboard, the goose will go down in 10 seconds. Dink felt Josh grab his arm and squeeze. On the other side, Ruth Rose let out a small gasp. Spike and Chip were planning to sink the golden goose. Don't worry, Chip was saying. I already put the gold in the dinghy. After we drowned the goose, we'll take the dinghy back to town, Spike said. We'll lie low till we get the money from the old folks, he laughed. Then we disappear. Did you hear that? Josh asked. They're going to sink this thing. Shh, Dink hissed. Suddenly, the kids heard loud, smashing noises, one after the other. Dink gulped. It was an axe striking wood. Then he heard a thump and footsteps running up the cabin stairs. Suddenly, he heard a new sound, the gurgle of water flooding into the boat. The kids began swimming. Suddenly, Dink heard a roar. He saw a large white boat, and on the side in black letters he read, Coast Guard. The boat zoomed up, then slowed. The kids bounced in the waves like corks. What the heck are you kids doing? A voice boomed from the boat. Seconds later, Dink, Josh, and Ruth Rose were hauled onto the boat's deck. The kids huddled together. A group of men stood staring at them. The sun was warm, but Dink couldn't stop shaking. One of the men dropped blankets around their shoulders. The kids were lying on the lawn in Graham's backyard. They had just finished a lobster dinner, and their stomachs were full. That was a super meal, Graham, Ruth Rose said. My pleasure, Graham said. You kids are heroes. Thanks to you, the police were able to catch Spike and Chip. We almost lost a lot of money. Well, Dinkus, you were right, Josh said. It was Spike on the phone at the airport, and he did say, take the dough. Grandma squeezed Dink's hand. You saved the day. Dink blushed. Well, you guys helped too, he said. If it hadn't have been for Ruth Rose, we wouldn't have been on the Golden Goose when those two guys came back. They'd have sunk the boat and gotten away with the money. Graham Hathaway smiled. I know three children who are going to get a reward. A reward? For what? The gold and silver Spike and Chip showed us was stolen from a museum in Miami, Graham said. The museum was offering a reward, and it goes to you three. Awesome! How much? Josh said. Ruth Rose laughed. Don't be greedy, Joshua. Josh slurped up the last of his ice cream. I'm not greedy, he said. I just like money. Suddenly, a huge mushroom of fireworks went off over their heads. Red, blue, and green sprays of light cascaded toward the earth. Make a wish, everyone, Graham said. I wish I had more ice cream, Josh said. I wish I had my own computer, Ruth Rose said. I wish we could stay here longer, Dink said. Our vacation went by so fast. Graham Hathaway gave Dink a kiss on the cheek. Your wish is granted, she said. You're all invited back this summer. The end. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Donna with Story Circle. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library.